Good morning and welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. My name is Brenda Reindl and I am the duty elder today. If you are visiting with us, please sign the guest book on the way out and make yourself known to the minister. There are some announcements in the calendar I would like to bring to your attention. First off, happy Father's Day to all of the fathers and the father figures who are worshiping with us today. And thank you to the ladies for doing the special choir, which has been a tradition of ours for a while. In the calendar, we have our church picnic, which is next Sunday, our four-church picnic. There will be no services here in this building, but Knox will be offering a service at 10:30. If you do not have tickets for the picnic, Burl does still have some available, so please see her today at Fellowship. Toronto Blue Day tickets are on sale today downstairs, again, at Fellowship. There's lots to do at Fellowship this morning. And Lorna will be selling those tickets. The other thing that I would like to make a correction on, in the bulletin it says to wear red and white on June 2nd. We'd like you to wear it on July 2nd. Okay? And Bruce.
There were just a couple of things that I wanted to point out. First of all, I was handed a note on the way in, Jack and Margaret. Yesterday, June 17th, Theodore Andrew Heaver was born in North Augusta, South Carolina, and that's a great-grandson of Jack Rivets, and we congratulate you on that. There's another rivet in the world. That's a good thing. No, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations, Jack. The other thing I wanted to point out is that this coming Tuesday evening, as you see in your bulletin, we're having our Celebration of Life service, Celebration of Lives Lived, and we've been doing this for a number of years. We particularly do this kind of service at this time of the year because it's kind of halfway from Christmas, and very often at Christmas we'll hear about longest night services, where Christmas can be a difficult time because we maybe not have some different people in our lives any longer, and we want to remember them. So we thought we'd do something spring, early summer, and it's lighter out, and the flowers are growing, and there's new growth and a newness in the sense of what's happening in our seasons. It's an opportunity for us to remember those who have gone and departed from our lives. This is not a sad situation, although I know that sometimes there are some tears, but it's an opportunity to simply remember the life that this person in your life has lived, an opportunity to remember them. We usually have some kind of a candle lighting type of ceremony and an opportunity, if you wish, to bring a photograph in of that person, and we put them up here at the front, and it's very intimate and quiet. And I actually, get really quite recharged by this because it's a common sort of feeling we all have in trying to remember someone in our life, whether friend or family. So I really encourage you to come out. It's a half-hour-long service is all, and we'll have some refreshments afterwards. But please consider coming out on Tuesday night for this lovely service of remembrance. Now, let's take a moment to prepare our hearts for worship this morning. We light the Christ candle this morning as a symbol of Christ's presence here in our worship. This is the same Christ candle that we light at Christmas, a white candle in the center of our group of candles that we use. And it's here to remind us Christ is with us always, and it represents the love that God gives us freely.
The responsive call to worship can be found in your bulletin. Worship the Lord with gladness. For the Lord our God is good. Our first hymn is hymn number 267, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Please be seated. In today's scripture readings, we're going to be talking in particularly from Romans and talking about the free gift that God has given, the grace of God's love, the unending love that God has for us and what that is all about. And as we will read in that particular scripture, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that we might be brought into the presence of God. We now come before God with our prayers of adoration, thanks, and confession, and the Lord's Prayer. And as I say, from week to week, this is our opportunity to take a moment, review our week, and think of those moments in which we've strayed from God's call in our life, that call to walk a particular path. And we have confidence, however, that we can come before God because of God's grace in Christ and ask for forgiveness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God of all power and peace, as Jesus sent his disciples, and we'll read that in the Gospels this morning, he sent his disciples out to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to gather the lost, to raise the dead, and proclaim the nearness of your realm. Make us ready to go, to share the good news that we've received. And as we talked about last week, Lord, that commission that we have, that sense of presenting your gospel message, which is your love for this world, Lord, shown through Christ. Lord, we also come before you this morning because we know without your grace we truly are like sheep without a shepherd. And that means that we can just aimlessly wander about. We're unprotected. We get harassed by sin. And a sense of using the analogy of the sheep, there are wolves out there harassing and predators trying to take advantage. But with your grace and in your presence, Lord, you protect us as that good shepherd does. Lord, we also come before you now that we sometimes stop being sheep, your sheep, and that's a good thing, to be a sheep, that is. But we stop being that good sheep and we try to do other things. And since we try to maybe become a wolf, maybe we try to become wise as an owl. Maybe we try to do anything other than be a sheep. So Lord, those moments we ask for forgiveness. The moments when you've said to us, gather as my flock, gather so that I can protect you and love you. And we think otherwise. We think better. No, Lord, I don't want to be in your sheep fold. I want to be out there and be a predator. I'm too smart for that, Lord. I don't need to do that. And we all do this in small ways, Lord. Times when we say too much. Times when we don't say enough. Times when all we're concerned about is me instead of you in any given situation. Forgive us, O Lord, and bring us home. We truly do repent of these actions that we've participated in this week. Restore us to your flock and fold, we pray, through Christ who is our good shepherd. And Lord, we now unite our hearts and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. People of God, hear the good news of God's love. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the peace of Christ be with you now and always. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you very, very much. We appreciate that so very much. This is a special Sunday, as it is Father's Day. We've had the ladies sing. I'm just going to fold this down a little bit. So I don't feel like I'm going to bump into it and everything else I have up here. But we have some new members who are joining officially this Sunday, the congregation, and I'm going to ask those folks to come forward, and that's Richard and Evelyn Iverson. Come on up, folks. Ingrid Golvick and Kimberly Long and Joy Barrett. And I'll just get you to sort of stand in a row here. This is the most embarrassing thing you'll have to do on a Sunday morning ever, I promise. We'll just get you to stand on a line and face the congregation. Now, these folks, I've brought them to the front only, not just to embarrass them, that is part of it, but so that we can see some faces. Often when you're sitting down there, all you see is the back of the head of the person in front of you, and at best, if you look diagonally, you know that Jack sits here, and if you don't know who Jack is, he's the big guy that sits there on Sunday mornings, and that's maybe how you describe him very often. So we wanted an opportunity so that we can show off the new faces, and you've been here for a little while, so it's not that you're brand new. But today is that official time. And so Richard, Evelyn, Ingrid, Kimberly, and Joy. Now, Caitlin's name was put in here, but she's coming with you, but she's not a member, so to speak. But I wanted her name in there because you're a trio, the three of you. So that's right, the three amigos. So I wanted that there. These folks have all been baptized and have been members of the body of Christ in other churches. They've been nurtured within the Christian community and instructed in the belief and practice of the church. And all have, as I said, all have been members of other congregations, and at their request and with the blessings of our session of elders are now a part of this congregation at Burlington East Presbyterian Church. I'd ask the congregation, if you're able, you too please stand. And you can answer this question, we will, in unison. The question is, will you receive them as full and active members of our congregation, supporting them as you would serve and support Christ himself? Thank you very much. You may be seated again. And let's bow our heads in prayer, everyone. Lord, we give thanks that all that you have given us and all that you welcome us with Christ's love. Lord, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of Burlington East Presbyterian Church here in the Presbytery of Hamilton, we thank you, God, that you're renewing your covenant faithfully by adding new members and new people in our family so we can participate in the ministries of the church by prayers, by realizing your presence, by sharing the gifts that we have and the service that we're able to give, and by the witness that we have in our lives, that everything that we do as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, as members of this family here, that all may be glorified through Christ himself. And now may the blessings of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all five of you now and always. Amen. You can turn around and wave at the ladies there so they can see you too. Thank you very much. Let's welcome them too. Thank you very much. Now, if you haven't met any of those folks, make sure down at coffee time you do introduce yourself and get to know them a little better. They're a wonderful, wonderful group of people. Join together now in our children's hymn, I'm Going to Live So God Can Use Me, and I thought this was very appropriate with our new members coming in, number 648, and at during verse 2, while the children come forward for a time together. Morning, guys. It's Father's Day, and often on Father's Day, there's something I like to do, and it bugs everybody in my family, and that's why I do it, I guess, on Father's Day. I like to tell corny jokes. So I've got a list you can take, and you can share them, but I'm gonna share a couple that are on here for these folks. What did the baby corn say to the mama corn? Where's popcorn? I worked hard on that one. What do you call your dad when he falls through the ice? A popsicle. And I got one more, and then you guys can take them from here. What did the baby strawberry cry? Why did the baby strawberry cry? Because his dad was in a jam. All right, I'm going to give one of these to you because you can read the rest when you're having lunch today with your family, and you can drive them crazy telling them all these dad jokes, okay? Yeah? You make sure you do it this way. Dad, 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 I have dad, dad, I have something, dad, for you. What did the daddy spider say to the baby spider? I'm looking at you, Todd. You spend too much time on the web, yeah, yeah. There you go, guys. But I wanted to share a short story today about something that we're going to read about in the Bible. It has to do with this newspaper. Every day, we get a newspaper delivered at our house, and I really don't know who does that, because it comes really early in the morning. I mean, I see a car some mornings when I'm up, but I really don't know the person that does this. It's there. And Jesus tells us in the gospel reading we're going to read today that we're supposed to do similar kind of thing. And look, on the front page of this newspaper, it has something that Jesus says. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven has come near. See, look at that right on the Toronto Star. It's on the front page, sort of. And the idea is that we're to be delivering this sort of news to people about God's love, and we're supposed to be doing it in a way that doesn't necessarily have... Well, you can do it kind of secretly in a way just by how you live, by how you treat one another and how you love one another. And if you share God's love with one another in the way you live, it's like delivering that newspaper to people and they'll get the message. They'll get the message that, I wonder what is different in their lives. Something about God must be really happening for them. So boys and girls, when we think about telling other people about God's love in our lives, sometimes it's just how we act and how we behave. That's the biggest news that we can deliver. Let's have a little prayer together. Come on, we'll join hands. I know you got your papers, but we can work on that. Yeah, you guys are okay there. Yeah? All right. Just bow your heads and repeat after me. You can join us. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your love and the good news of your love. Help us to send that message. The message of your love. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. Have a good time at Sunday school, and we'll sing the last two verses of our hymn, Seated. From scriptures this morning and hearing the voice of God as we do so. So as we do that, prepare to do that, let's bow our heads in prayer to calm our minds and hearts. Lord God, by your Spirit, teach us to obey your voice and keep your covenants so that we may be a priestly kingdom, your holy people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 100 is clearly a psalm of praise. It's the first psalm in the fifth section of Psalms, and that fifth section predominantly deals with praise, and it has praise hymns, and probably one of the first scripture and song pieces I learned was Psalm 100. I've mentioned that we used to go to a place down in Toronto back in the 70s called the Catacombs. It was held at St. Paul's Anglican, the big cathedral down there, and it was a great time to get together, and everybody that had an instrument could bring it along and play, and the rest of us could come along and sing, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people at this gathering every Wednesday night. And this is one of the songs that psalms that they sang regularly there. And as it's turned out over the years, all that singing has caused a great way for me to memorize Scripture, because it's easy to remember when you sing the tune along a little bit. And as they sang these songs, it got us into Scripture, reading Scripture, and memorizing Scripture. This is a beautiful psalm that talks about praising God and references again that same mode that we've talked about with the sheep and the pasture. And let's just read in unison now Psalm 100.
Psalm 100, read in unison. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. The Lord made us. We belong to God. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. Enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. God thanks to the Lord, bless the Lord's name, for the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations.
Thank you, Brenda. That psalm always brings to mind when we talked about King David last summer and King David dancing in the streets, singing. These are the types of songs that he would have sung. It would have been drums and cymbals and trumpets blasting. It would have been quite the noise that they made as they came into the temple and singing this. As it starts out, that one, make a joyful noise to the Lord. It would have been quite the cacophony as they went down the street and up the steps into the temple. Our Old Testament reading is taken from Exodus chapter 19, page 65. And over the course of the next number of weeks, as we follow the lectionary, we'll be reading through a bit of Exodus, Romans, and Matthew, as we kind of get a bit of a thread of continuity going on. Where this story picks up here in Exodus is it's about 3 months after they have left Egypt. Lots of different things have happened, and Moses is addressing the people, and God is talking as well to Moses directly and reviewing some of the things that have taken place. And as we know in this story, the people do nothing but complain, even though great miracles have taken place. Exodus 19, 3 months after leaving Egypt, and Moses is going to go up onto the mountain, beginning at verse 2. They had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all those words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. Yeah, we know what happened shortly after that. "We'll follow you, God." Well, maybe not now, but we'll see that as with weeks transpire. And God loved them nonetheless, and that's the important part of that story. Romans 5 is our New Testament reading, and that's on page 155 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. And Paul is now addressing some very important points that we'll be talking about today. talking about our faith and God's love for us. I'll comment more in the sermon. So let's just read through this, Romans 5, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For a while we were still weak. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 9. It's on page 9 in your pew Bibles. It's beginning at verse 35, and then we're reading into the very beginning of chapter 10 as well. Jesus is picking 12 of his disciples who are going to go out into the world, and they are now not just his disciples, they are now his apostles. And just to clarify, apostle means the one who is sent. A disciple is the one who is being taught. So they've gone from being teachers now to being the ones who are sent out into the world. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, which we talked a little bit about last week as well. Matthew 9, beginning at verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon of Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles, enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. This is the word of God. Join now in our next hymn, Freely, Freely, God Forgave My Sin, number 774. was looking for some Father's Day quotes and whatnot, and came across a few from different sort of famous people, and who they are is not important, but some of them I thought were, a couple of them I thought were cute. I gave my father $100 and said, "Dad, buy yourself something that will make your life easier." So he went out and bought a present for my mother. 4-year-old, "Tell me a scary story, Dad." Dad says, "One time little people popped out of your mom and they never stopped asking questions ever since." "Why's that, Dad?" Yeah. You know, I wanted to really talk about, and in the past I've talked about sort of the history of where Father's Day has come from. And, you know, it's tied directly to Mother's Day. And that kind of goes without saying, but there's a direct representation there, because on one of the early Mother's Day services, when I talked about the lady that got it started in 1909, there's some other folks in the crowd, and they were moved so much by the story that she had told about her mother that they felt there was equal stories about fathers, and that maybe we should do something to remember them as well. And so we now have Father's Day. It wasn't just simply to sell cards and take Dad out for dinner and buy him a bad tie. It was something other than that. And often, as I pointed out in the early times, this was to remember parents who are no longer with us. And that's why this Mother's Day got started, was this one very church-involved lady. Her mother had passed away, and she wanted to do something to honor and remember her. And we do that with our dads in our lives, and we have dads in so many different ways that are a part of our lives. As we consider God's free gift and we talk about fathers, let's just, before we go do that, let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, because you are our Father, our parent. You play that mother role as well, as we defined and talked about that back in Mother's Day, that you also are our Father, and Father has certain things underneath it, just as Mother does, that we define as the role, and certainly you fill that. But you are our parent, and there are attributes as a parent that are very, very true. They're in that pure and good sense of the word. So Spirit, open our hearts this morning that we can understand this love that God has for us, this free love, this grace freely given. And calm our minds and help us to put aside distractions that may have brought with us, or distractions that we feel are yet to come, so that we can hear your voice. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still were sinners, Christ died for us. While we still were sinners, Christ died for us. In the song we just sang, he said, "Freely, freely you've received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live." Paul says, just before he makes that statement about God proving his love, he says, "Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, although perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I wanted to talk about, I got to back up a little bit to be able to talk about this idea of while we were yet sinners. You may be familiar with the sort of the Greek terms for love. We have one word, love. So I can love peanut butter sandwiches, and I can love my wife, and I can love my God, and they all sound the same because it's love. But in Greek and many other languages other than English, but in Greek in particular, which Scripture is written in, there are at least two words to describe love. So it means love, but they have a different word because it means a different kind of love. Eros is a kind of love that we think of with erotic in sort of modern parlance. But eros is a love for an inanimate object, typically, that gives me some pleasure. So I can say that I love strawberry sandwiches. I eros strawberry sandwiches because it's an inanimate object and it makes me feel good eating all that jam. You pick whatever you like. It may be an event that you love or a cause that you love. I'm getting something out of this. Typically it is. The other object, because it's inanimate, not necessarily getting anything from that. I'm receiving something that makes me feel good. Phileo, where we get the word city, Philadelphia, is typically said as brotherly love, but really what it means is love between two people. And it can be any two people. And it's a bi-directional relationship. So I have friends, and I can say that I phileo my friend Brian, who was here last week, or a couple weeks back, to help us out. I've known Brian for many years, and I would say truly that I love him, but the word would be phileo, because there's a bi-directional relationship there. I get something out of it in that sense. Brian gets something out of it, well, most of the time, I suppose, but Brian gets something out of that as well in that relationship. I can say I love or phileo my wife, or even God, in the sense that there's something happening on both sides of that coin in that relationship. So let's just do that again. The eros love, it's one directional because it's an inanimate object typically. I get something out of it because I'm happy or I feel good. Phileo is bidirectional. Both parties are receiving something good and it works well. Both parties are happy, both parties are satisfied, both parties are getting something. The Christians in these times of Scripture, before Scripture was even written, but the early Christians, they wanted to talk about a different kind of love. They wanted to describe a love that God had, that as we read, but God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. That's not a love that can be described with the word eros, because it's not an object with a one-sided relationship, where the object is just there, and this side is receiving something, pleasure, happiness, whatever that may be. It's not phileo, which is both sides, because while we were yet sinners, that means while we were still enemies of God, God loved us. Well, that's not phileo, because there's bidirectional love going on. There's I love you, you love me. It's a equal parties kind of deal. So what they did, that early group of people, they got out some old documents. And the best line equivalent I can give you to this is if we got out some Shakespearean English. And we wanted to describe something. We didn't have a word for it, but there was probably a word they used back in Elizabethan time that was fallen out of use. Let's go through Shakespeare and see if we can find that word, or Elizabethan English Dictionary, and let's see if we can find that word. And so they dug around. They dug around until they found an old story. And it was a story in Greek mythology of a small town on the coast, most Greek cities tend to be, way, 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 way back. And this town was harassed by this giant sea monster. This giant sea monster would come out and crawl up on the ground and destroy the village unless they had a sacrifice, a human sacrifice. And so they would take people and they would chain them to the coastline, and as the story goes on, and this giant monster would come out, devour them, I'm appeased, and go away, and then next year come back and do the same thing. Typical kind of Greek kind of mythology story that's going on there. And as this story gets told, the young maiden that gets picked this particular year is a slave. She's been captured from their enemies of this village. So she's an enemy to the village. She's a slave in the village. She has no value. She's not even good looking by their standards. So she's not even like, oh, well, somebody might even just marry her and that'll be good. She has no money. There is no value in this person whatsoever in the eyes of the villagers. What a better person to pick to be our sacrifice to this giant sea monster. It's not going to cost us anything. And the prince of the town got wind of this. And as the story is told, he's sort of standing up on the cliffs looking down at this sad maiden waiting to be killed. And he falls in love with her, not because she's valued, not because there's a bidirectional thing going on here, not even because there's even a one-directional. So it wasn't eros, it wasn't phileo, it was something else. It was a love for a worthless enemy to this him as the prince and to this town. It wasn't a cause. That's not right. That's a human life. That's what we'd see today in the movies. It wasn't even that. It was just that there was a love for this person who should not have been loved. And the word that was used in Greek was agape, or agape. Wow, the Christians read that story and they said, that's exactly what God is to us. God is looking down at us, enemies to God, while we were yet sinners. We're not worth anything. And we back that picture up a little further, theologically speaking, and that's what my job is, so I'm going to do that for a minute. God looked down at the world at the time of Noah, and he said, this isn't working. People are pretty disgusting with one another. This world is not working out. I have a cartoon that I posted this week on social media, and it's supposed to be God looking down from the clouds at the earth, and there's an angel standing beside him, and the angel says, have you tried unplugging it and plugging it back in? In the story of Noah, that's what he was going to do. He looked down on the earth and he said, they hate each other. They're killing each other. It's not working. I need to start over. And he was counseled at that point to find somebody that was righteous. And he found Noah and his family and spared them. But as we think beyond that, we think of the time when Jesus was around. And as it says in Scripture, in that Scripture that we read, I want to find it specifically. Now I can't find it. But it talks about just the right time in Romans. At just the right time. And I believe that could be understood as God was ready to just pull the plug at that point again. It doesn't say that he was going to do that, but it's, to me, implied that at just the right moment, God, a new plan came about. Because God could have done not what he did, which was let Christ die for us, for that unloved enemy of God. He could have just said, you know what, let's unplug it and start over again. Let's plug it back in and see what happens. Because he is God. While we were sinners, enemies of God, worthless, should have been rebooted, Christ died for us. Freely, that is the grace of God. Agape is that love that's being described there. And as Jesus tells us to give as we've been given, we were at some point in our life there, all of us. And God looked down and said, I love you anyway. I love you anyway. I agape you anyway. There's nothing in it specifically for me, because he could have just treated us like inanimate objects. Eros loved us. And I'll just get a new one. That'll be fine. He could have phileo loved us. I get a new friend. That's okay, I can do that. We weren't friends of God. We weren't objects of God. We were, as we read in our Old Testament reading this morning, the promise that God gave his children, part of his family. He agape loved us. And at just the right moment, Christ died. And Paul is even emphasizing it all the more about this agape love, because he says, indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person, for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. And I thought about that particular line because, you know, we're in the 100th anniversary of the First World War and different celebrations are taking place. Stories are being recounted and told of soldiers who died for one another, who willingly jumped on the grenade or ran out in front of a bunch of, you know, machine guns and died doing so to save their friends. That's phileo love. That's phileo love. It existed in Jesus' time too. There was wars going on then too, and people were sacrificing themselves and dying for one another. But rare is it when it happens. Rare is when it happens. And when Paul says, well, perhaps a good person, someone might actually, so there's some value in that person. So if this prince had been standing on the cliff looking down at that maiden tied in that fictional story and thought, well, she's pretty good looking. Pretty good looking. I'll save her, sure. Or, well, she comes from a rich family. We captured her from a rich family. If I save her, I'll get the money. Okay, I'll go. Or if his father, the king, thought, well, maybe she'd make a good part of the household, so, okay, I'll get her. None of that was true in that story. She should have died. There was no reason for her not to. But the prince had a different kind of love that came about and saved her anyway, risked his life fighting off this giant sea monster in the story. God loves us. God proves his agape for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. What a powerful bit of message that is for us. What a powerful bit of message that is in the story that we read in the Gospels, which is different than last week's Gospel, because remember this story in Matthew we're reading is before Christ is crucified. He's sending out the 12, because we read clearly last week there was only 11 left when he sent them out that second time. You received without payment, give without payment. God loved you freely, you better love the same way. And so when we are challenged and called to love one another and love the world, it's not eros love. Oh, it's the world, we should love it and care for it because I get something out of that. It's not phileo love because the cause of loving other people is what we should take up because they get something out of it as well as I do. That's not the love God's telling us to have for other people. He's saying love the unlovable. And who are the unlovable? And today, because we're celebrating Father's Day, there will equally be as many jokes, I'm sure, tossed around about family. And family sometimes are the hardest ones to love because we're stuck with family, is the phrase. We're stuck with them. And as I was sharing just this week with a young couple that are getting married next weekend, I was telling them this very kind of similar story, and I tell it in the context of the marriage ceremony. And when I do a marriage ceremony, I change what's often what people think in their minds as part of the traditional ceremony where you hear love, honor, and obey. That's not the right one. The original one is love, honor, and cherish. And it's love, honor, and cherish because the script for that was developed in the Middle Ages. In the Middle Ages, Latin, French, and English were spoken. They were the powerhouse languages of the day. So when I say love you, I'm saying it in English. When I say honor you, I'm saying it in Latin. And when I say cherish, chérie, I'm saying it in French. So when I stand up in front of this congregation of people and say to my bride-to-be, I love, love, love you. Love me tender. Love me true. God loves us in such a way. And as I talked to this young couple, I said, you know, love is not just a feeling. That's phileo love. Love is not just a commitment. That feeling, that's eros love. Love is not just a commitment. That's phileo love. God is asking you to love one another even when you're unlovable. And there's times, husbands and wives, when we are unlovable, isn't it? And today's Father's Day, so, you know, we can think of somebody in particular who might fit that sometimes. When your partner, when your father, when your brother, when the man in your life, whoever it may be, is bugging you, God says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Love them too. So while they're particularly unlovable, work at it. And that was my message to this young couple. Don't just fall in love and fall out of love. You're loving. I don't like you today, maybe, but that's okay. I'll work on that because there's probably going to be a day when you don't like me. But that doesn't mean we're not in love. That doesn't mean we can't continue to work at our love. And working at love in that respect is important for us as Christians because that's how we need to deal with our relationship. And I know time is spinning on, but I want to add this because it's important about our relationship with God. And it's been a problem in the church, as far as I'm concerned, and been one of the causes of the downfall of our attendance in church. And that is our understanding of what it is to love God. I'm supposed to just, fall in love with God. Just like I fall in love with a person. And then when things get hard, I guess, I'll move on to something else. So I don't need to go to church. Me and God, we're just, you know, I don't need church. I don't need to be a Christian. I'll just be a nice person. You're falling out of love. You're not agape love with God. While things are not going so well, we still love. While things are hard, we still love. While things don't seem to maybe make sense, we still love. While we suffer loss and suffering in our lives, as Paul talks about suffering, we still love. Because it's not somebody getting something out of this part of that kind of love. It is a love that just is and takes work to develop and keep. Fathers are parents too. Fathers work hard for their families. Mothers work hard for their families. Our parents are very important parts of our lives in that, even if they weren't involved in raising you, they made you. God is our father, our mother, and our parent, all wrapped up in one as far as the roles and relationships go. We can ask our parents for anything, and as we as good parents want that for our children. As parents, we freely give to our children, and as our godly parent, God will give us freely as well. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love, and we thank you that you have something very special for us, that agape love. Lord, as that agape love stirs in our hearts, we are called to go out and tell other people about it. Tell them in the way we live and in the way we talk, and sharing that gospel. Help us to do that, Lord, after today. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Good and holy God, we serve. The harvest, as Christ said, is plentiful, and the laborers are few. Therefore, we ask the Lord to send us out as laborers for the harvest, and in doing so, we offer our gifts to the Lord now. Thank you for your agape love, a love that is given freely, a love that is truly a godly love. Lord, bless this, our offering, that it truly can reflect that godly love, that free grace that is given. And we pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. This is our time when we come and offer names. As we've been doing on the last several months, we'll continue to do today. for the different people that we have in our lives that are in need. And do remember, I mentioned last week, David Dawson and his family. David is still in palliative care, and I'm expecting to hear, I was expecting, and the family were, to hear that things had changed for David over the last week, and he's still sort of hanging in there, so to speak. It's been really hard on the family, as we can well imagine, so we do want to hold them up in prayer, and I expect to be hearing a phone call any day now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, you've called us to go out and heal and do all the miracles that are needed in the lives of the people around us. You've given us that authority. And so, Lord, this is part of that authority, and that's coming to you in prayer. We pray, Lord, for people such as David Dawson, who was a member of this congregation, he and Lorraine, and a very lively part of what went on here for a while. And Lord, we pray for David's family as they sort of wait and sit vigil with him. And Lord, you are calling him, and we know that. And it's wonderful in the one sense, Lord, that his family are of faith and that they are praying for and with him every day, and that they've been gathering to do that, and there's been lots of support from the staff of the hospital as well as in their family. So, Lord, we pray that you will give him peace and give him the rest that he needs. Lord, we take a moment now because, as we've been saying from week to week here, everybody in this room knows someone that's in true need, whether it's a physical need, a spiritual need, an emotional or mental need. They have needs. And there's someone in our life, Lord, that really needs a word of prayer. And so we take a moment now, Lord, and we offer those names up to you. Lord, many names have been spoken in silence in our hearts. Some names we probably can't say out loud because there's just a lot of emotion attached to them. So, Lord, all the names that have been spoken aloud, we've united our hearts and minds around, and those names that haven't been spoken out, we also do the same. We unite our hearts and minds, hold this all up to you. Because prayer's a mystery, Lord. You call us to do it. You call us to talk to you and offer these things up to you, and it just seems it's a crazy thing to do in one sense. But you do answer prayer as we look back over our lives. You do intercede when people pray. It does make a difference. And Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this time every week that we have to come before you with people in our lives that are in need. And we faithfully hold them up to you with confidence that you will act and are acting. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Join together now for our final hymn, number 374. We're going to sing verses 2 and 5 of this hymn. Verses 2 and 5, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." Just the right time, although we were still sinners, Christ died for us and God shared his love with us. And now as we go to proclaim that good news, that the news is the kingdom of God is near. May the love of God now go with you, the grace of Christ be with you, and the Spirit's peace walk beside you now and always. Amen.